Now Dr. Yates gets to follow that, and I'm sure he'll do a good job doing it.
Wow. Anybody else blessed besides me?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is awesome. Thank you. Oh. Thank you. I got the other one here, Bruce. Anyway. I got the one where I can run around the building.
That's why I moved out of your way. You have a little more freedom over there.
Oh, no. I'm not gonna really preach. I'm just gonna share today. You ever heard a preacher say that?
Yes.
What did it mean? Nothing. That's kind of like he says, this is, he looks at his watch. Does that mean anything? No. So there you go. But anyway, I am so glad to be here. I'm just amazed and blessed, and the music and everything is just so good. Praise the Lord for that. And I have a new little briefcase, thanks to all of y'all. I use it already. So there you go. I've got my little notes in it. I got my name tag with me. Just in case they're voting on something, I want to vote.
You might as well be a do something.
Anyway. Well, let's see. What did y'all do yesterday? You went to
the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Did everybody have fun?
Yeah.
Went to the Parthenon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And are you going to the opera tonight?
Tomorrow.
No. Tomorrow.
Friday night. So what are y'all doing tonight?
Church again.
Ah.
Missionary.
Oh, that's right. You told me it was mission, missionary night.
Yeah.
All right. Good. What are we doing tomorrow, Jack? What are y'all doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow we got this session here, and then this meeting in the afternoon, our banquet.
In the evening.
All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Joanne will be here tomorrow and to share with you a little. And Joanne, my wife, you know, the sister of Johnny Cash, if y'all didn't know that. But how many of you are learning more about finding the will of God in your life since you've been here? Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Because if we weren't able to find it, God wouldn't tell us to look for it. You know, if we weren't able to find the will of God, it wouldn't be worth looking for. But we're able to find it, okay? It's like somebody told me one day, said, I found Jesus. I want to know where he was. I think we got mixed up who was really lost, didn't we? He found me. I was lost. Amen. And I'm glad he did. Aren't you glad he did?
Yes.
Well, we're talking about finding the will of God in our life. And I told you a couple of really important scriptures. Okay, the first one was, besides the ones that we're studying on in Colossians, the first one is to know that His Word is His will. His Word is His will. Whatever the Word says, that's His will for my life. Okay, and secondly, in case you don't know how to find it, John 16 and verse 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth. So if you want to know how to find the will of God, His Word is the will, and when you don't think you can understand it, the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth.
Amen.
Those are two very important points. Now, as we were talking, we talked about a couple of ways to find the will of God the day before yesterday. And first of all, check the Word of God. That's number one. Check the Word of God. What does the Word say about what I should be doing? Where should I be going? And what I shouldn't be doing more than anything else, what does the Word say? Does it say that I should go do this, or does it say I should go do that? But I think we have to remember, we check the Word. That's number one, most important. Check what the Word says. If you have a question about something, what does the Word say about it? I learned a long time ago that if I have to ask if something's wrong, it probably is. You know, because we know what's right and wrong. We all have a conscience. We call it a conscience. It's really the Spirit of God. You know, we all have that Spirit of God within us that says, whether this is right or whether it's wrong. I think the question then remains as to what do we do with that. So first of all, check with the Word of God when you have questions about what we ought to do. Secondly, in finding the will of God, we talked about this one, ask for guidance. Ask for, you know, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay. When we got done on a day before yesterday, we had a lot of questions. It's okay to ask questions because I think the Scripture tells us in the multitude of counselors there's wisdom. You know, I think it's easier if we talk about something, we can find really part of what the will of God is for my life as I discuss it with other people. And I ask questions and ask for guidance, you know. Now, I don't want to you to misunderstand this. Asking for guidance doesn't mean you just ask anybody who comes along.
Right.
Somebody who's never been there can't help you get there.
Amen.
Hello? I don't know about you, but I've been lost in the woods before. And I want to tell you, it's not a very pleasant experience because it's like I had no clue where I was and I was by myself and I got separated from the guide. And I have to tell you, once he found me, I didn't find him. Remember, I was lost. Okay? But once he found me, I hung on to him the rest of that trip. Amen? I mean, if you've ever been lost once, you don't want to be lost again. You know? And so you hang on to the guide. Well, we got to do that with Jesus. Hang on to the guide. Hang on to him. He'll take you where he wants you to go. He'll show you where he wants you to go. He'll lead you where he wants you to go. And like I told somebody, well, what if you can't really see very well how to go? Hang on to him. Hang on to him. You know? Quite often, as many of you know, that sometimes you just have to have a hand to help you get to certain places, especially most of us know our way around our own house, you know, and whenever we can see or we're visually impaired or anything, we can still know our way around our own house. The middle of the night, if it's pitch dark in my house, I don't have to turn the light on to find my way around. I know where everything is. I've been living there a long time, okay? And so what happens is we know how to find a way around our own house, but if we're thrown into a place where we're not comfortable and we don't know, sometimes we need a hand. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay. A lot of people don't want to do that, but it's okay to ask for help. So we got check God's word, number one, ask for guidance, number two, and today we're going to talk about a couple of more. Number three, this is important, weigh your circumstances. Take a look at them. You know, weigh your circumstances. Get the pros and the cons. Is this what I should do? And what's going to happen if I go this way? What's going to happen if I go that way? Weigh your circumstances. When we're talking about, if you remember, we were talking about Abraham and Isaac, Isaac and Rebekah, his wife-to-be, and Eliezer, the servant, who the father had sent to find a bride for his son. And we're talking still in that same thing. And the servant watched what was happening. Eliezer kept watching what was going on with Rebekah. You know, one of the best things that that the servant did is found in verse 21 there in Genesis 25. It says, without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. In other words, the servant was looking, knew what the father wanted for his son. Believe me, folks, the Holy Spirit knows what God wants.
Amen.
For his son. And he guides us into all that truth. And so here, this servant of Abraham knew what the father wanted. Remember, we talked about that last time, that he knew what the father wanted. And so what happened is, he had to weigh his circumstances. He kept watching the girl. He kept watching to see what would happen there and figuring out that if she did everything that Abraham had said, that would be the right one and his journey would be successful. Make sense? Okay, would she go ahead and give him a drink? Second, would she offer to feed his camels water? Remember, that's what Abraham had said? Said, will she offer to bring water for the camels? Would she be a relative of Abraham? Because remember, it's got to be that all the people of the same people. And also, would she willingly go with the servant? So his servant was watching to see if she would do all of these things, because then he would know it was the will of God. So weigh your circumstances. And if any of these circumstances would have gone a different direction, the servant would have concluded he'd not found the right person. Okay? Because he knew what he was trying to get. He knew what the father wanted. And so he said, he was watching her to make sure she was going to do all the stuff that the father wanted. So sometimes God directs us by a closed door. Are you listening? I have a thing about the will of God in my life. Some people say, well, I just believe God wants going to open all this door and open that door. How many of you have heard that in your life? Because people say, yeah, God's going to open a door for you if he wants you to go through it. I have a little different take on that. If the door's open, there's no faith to walk through it, is there? And yet without faith, it's impossible to please God. So there's got to be a little bit of faith. I'm of the opinion that all the doors are closed. Some are locked. So by faith, I walk up to the door. If it opens, that's one God wants me to walk through. If it's locked, I need to go to the next door. Does that make sense? See, if the door's open already, anybody can walk through an open door. Okay? But it takes a little faith to turn the knob. I got something I got to do, church. I mean, we got to do something ourselves. It's not about God doing all of it. You know, he will only do what we cannot do. He will not do what we can. I'm going to say that again. You need to understand. God will not do what you can do. He will only do what you cannot. What we can do, remember what he said? He said, when you've done all you can do, stand. Amen. See, well, that tells me I'm supposed to be doing something. So I'm going to find the will of God. I want to find that door that is unlocked. Because that way I can use a little of my faith, turn the knob, if the door opens, that's the will of God for my life. If it doesn't open and it's locked, and I'm not going to, don't raise your hand when I ask this, but how many of us at one time or another have walked up to locked doors and we thought was, I don't know why the devil locked that door, I'm going to beat it down and go through it anyway. You know. Only to find out that that was the wrong door. That was not the will of God. Okay? Now, don't get all down on yourself about that. I want to show you there's good news about that as well. Sometimes God directs us to a closed door. You know, I mean, when we're looking at several different churches, I asked God to close all the doors except the one that he wanted us to pursue. Basically, I asked him to lock the doors that he didn't want me to go through and just unlock the one he wanted me to go through. I don't mind trying a few doors to get to the right one. How about you? Amen. See, it's okay. Just walk up and try them. That's what we can do. Okay? If none of those doors were unlocked, then God wanted me to go a different direction. You understand? So we're looking for, sometimes when we're looking for the will of God, the door may be locked. One of the doors. But keep looking. There'll be a door that's unlocked somewhere. And that'll be the will of God. Sometimes God directs us by giving us a great opportunity. You know, sometimes there's a great opportunity presents us. I say, wow, where'd that come from? That's a great opportunity. But we always remember, check everything you do by the word of God and with prayer. God always speaks to his people. Somebody says, well, he never spoke to me. Well, yeah, he did. He wrote the 66 love letters.
Amen.
It's called the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? Somebody says, well, I'm waiting on God to speak to me. Okay? I got to tell you something. If you're not going to read his letters, he's probably not going to call you on the phone. Amen? I mean, to me, that's pretty simple. If I write somebody a bunch of letters and they don't respond in any way, I'm probably not going to call them. Somebody said, well, God never spoke to me. He wrote you 66 times. Make sense? Okay. So we got to always check everything with the word and with prayer. Again, quite often when a great opportunity comes along, you ever found something that was you felt like was too good to be true? It was. It is. If it feels like it's too good to be true, it is. Weigh everything with the word and with prayer. And quite often, what I found with the will of God in my life is there will be a sense of peace that comes with it when you find it. There'll be a sense of peace. There may not be when you walk up to that door and it's not open, and you have to reach out maybe with a little trepidation to turn the knob because you don't know what's on the other side. But once you do and the sun comes bursting through, boy, there's a sense of peace that just floods you and says, hey, I'm in the will of God. You see, so sometimes God may direct us to finding his will by a great opportunity. But one of the best helps God gives us quite often is our Christian brothers and sisters. Sometimes what may seem cloudy to us may be crystal clear to some of them. Now, don't misunderstand that. Don't always go by what somebody else says. Remember, in everything, weigh everything by the word of God and prayer. Okay? But again, there's a caution here. Check things out about with someone you feel really, really strong in Christ about. Before you ever start following people, I don't know how many of you believe in prophetic words and all the gifts of the Spirit and all of that stuff. I don't know about all of that. But I know people sometimes will tell somebody, I believe God told me to tell you that he wants you to go to Africa. Well, you know what I found? Scripture said, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, everything is confirmed. I'm not going to Africa just because you tell me. God told you to tell me that. Because God ought to be telling me. Amen? I don't throw all that away, but I do say that weigh it. Put it on the back burner because God may show you down the road. You understand what I'm saying? If you've never thought about it, somebody comes up and says, hey, I believe God wants you to go to Africa. Well, I never thought about that. Not me. You know what I'm saying? I used to be that way. Now I've been to Africa 7 times. You know, once you go, it's, woo, yeah, now you know it's the will of God. But anyway, sometimes you just pray with your brothers and sisters. You know, Scripture tells us that where two are gathered in his name, he's in the middle of it. So if we can get a couple of three people praying, we can maybe find the will of God a little easier. Okay? So we need to remember that. And don't find somebody who wants you to do something because they want you to do it. Make sure they're objective about it. Make sure that they're listening to the voice of God rather than they want you to do it, to get rid of you. You know, you never know. Hey, the enemy works in a lot of weird ways. Anyway, because see, you're not looking for a yes person. You're not looking for an agreement. You're looking for guidance. When you get guidance from God to his will, you will find agreement in the true believers of God. Because the same God is speaking to you that's speaking to me. So he's not going to tell you one thing and me something else. Then he would appear like he didn't know what he was talking about. So he's always in agreement. Well, that's a good word there. Anyway, so the servants here, okay, God, give me a specific sign. I know about all these other things we talked about bringing water for the camels and being a relative of Abraham and all these. I know about all that, but give me something specific. Okay? A lot of people say, well, you think it's really appropriate to ask God for a sign? There's a lot of speculation about that. A lot of people want to know, God, give me a sign that this is what you want me to do. Okay? First of all, let me explain. You don't need a sign from God to know you're supposed to pray. You don't need a sign from God to know you're supposed to go to church, fellowship with believers. You don't need a sign from God for that. But it's okay when you're looking for the will of God. I mean, remember the guy that had the fleece one day and said, I want you to make it wet if this is really what you want me to do. The next day, make it dry if it's really what you want me to do. Thank you. Anyway, when all of these guys, they were asking for a sign, not because they were not believers, but because they wanted to make sure they were in the perfect will of God. I have to tell you a story about me personally. When I went into full-time ministry, and I've always been in the ministry since I got saved in 1970, but when we went out of the church into full-time evangelism back in 1975, I left the church in which I was a very active member. I was the secretary of the church board, the associate pastor, led the praise and worship, a lot of stuff, youth pastor, and all of those things. And so I went to my pastor and I said, I really would like to have, I'd like to ask God for a sign if this is what he really wants us to do. And he said, you should, that's fine. If it's okay to ask for a sign when you're already doing it to make sure you're doing the right. But if God speaks to you to do something, he still wants you to do it. You don't have to ask a sign to say, God, are you serious? You know, you don't have to ask for that kind of sign. But I went ahead and I said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take the first 6 weeks and we'll just go out and minister in different places and people will call us if it's the will of God and all of that. And the very first, I don't know how you're going to take this now, the very first service we were out, the very first Sunday night service, we were in a church in Texas, and I didn't know anybody there. But they'd ask us to come and speak and sing, and I was there, and in that very service, a man, a young man, 29 years old, jumped up and grabbed his heart and died in the service. My first thought was, I'm out of the will of God. You know, I mean, I'm here to preach and share, and somebody dies, a young guy. There were a couple of army medics there who went over and worked on the young man for a while, and they got up and left, said, there's nothing we can do, call the, you know, call the coroner or whatever. And I said, I just don't think so. So me and this other preacher went over there and started praying for him, and God raised him from the dead. Now, I don't know how you're going to take that. That's okay. It doesn't matter how you, whether you believe it or not. You came too late to tell me. I was there. I was there and saw it happen, so I just tell you. Yeah, yeah. And he got up in a little bit and gave a little testimony that he had died. He knew he was dead and that he was on his way somewhere, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I've called you to do this and this and this and this. Are you going to do it or what? I said, well, are you going to do it? He said, absolutely. And here, that was 1975, July the 3rd. Okay? So here we are, 38 years later, and he's still out there doing what God told him to do. Amen. So sometimes drastic things might happen to that convince you that it's. Anyway, I didn't ask for any more signs. I figured that was sign enough for me. So much of the time we ask for signs. You know, you don't have to ask for signs for some things. You just know they're the right thing to do. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, said, somebody, if somebody wanted to give $10,000 to your church, would you pray about it? I said, yes. For just about that long. But more than anything, I'd be saying, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to know if it was the will of God. There's just certain things you know. Anyway, so throughout all the Bible, we see characters that discern God's will in many different ways. I'll give you a couple of examples. There are some that God spoke directly to them in a vision. There's some that God spoke in a lot of different ways. Others cast lots. I don't know all about all that casting lots. I just know they did it. I'm not exactly 100% sure of what all that meant. To me, it was kind of a gamble thing, but I don't understand it all, so it's okay. But even the disciples in Acts chapter 1 were casting lots. So there was something about it. And some ask for other signs. You know, Gideon and the fleece we were talking about earlier. Moses was given a miracle. Hezekiah got 15 more years added to his life. I mean, you know, sometimes God does miraculous things to show us. But before we start demanding that God give us a sign, yeah, we need to keep a couple of things straight. First, these characters didn't have the advantage we have of having the Word of God. Okay? The Old Testament folks did not have that advantage of having the Word of God. We have the Word of God. Remember what I said? The Word of God is His will. See? So God speaks to us in His letters as much as He speaks to us, though we know He speaks in the last days in visions and dreams. But anything that you hear or see has to line up with the Word of God, or you need to run from it. Okay? See, today we've got it better. We can check God's Word for guidance, and we have His Spirit living within us that guides us into all the truth. So it's not that they're not real. It's just that, you know, it's just not necessary to have all of those things at most of the time. It's okay to get them, though. I believe in dreams and visions, and if it's in the Word of God, I believe it's for me. Yeah. A lot of people don't believe that. But I have to tell you, Jesus said He's today, He's the same for what? Today, yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, if He's no respecter of persons, and we know He's no respecter of persons because His Word says so. He told me in one of His letters He's no respecter of persons. I believe what He said. And so if He's no respecter of persons, then everything anybody in the Bible had, you can expect in your life. Because we're all the same. Boy, y'all have gotten quiet on me now. I'm the guy that was preaching a good shout and stuff a while ago. So anyway, quite often, if God has spoken clearly to you about something, I think sometimes if we're not careful asking for a sign, maybe a sign of doubt in my life. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be very careful when we're asking for a sign. But I don't believe there's anything wrong with it most of the time. Anyway, secondly, we must be aware that signs that are set up to get, that we must be aware of signs that are set up sometimes to get what we want rather than what God wants for us. Sometimes we ask for a sign from God so we can kind of turn it around and get what we want. You know, and I think quite often, I do a lot of counseling with a lot of people with problems in their marriages and problems in their families and all of that. And quite often, what I have found in many cases is these people do not want my advice. They don't want my counseling. They want me to agree with them against the other person. People always say, well, you're on their side. Well, I'm not. I'm on God's side. Now, if you're on God's side, I'm with you. But if you're not on His side, guess whose side I'm not on? Yours. You know, I mean, that's, to me, that's the whole story there. You know we should visit a person, but we don't want to. If you know you're supposed to visit somebody or pray with somebody, but you know what they did last week, and it really hurt my feelings. I don't want to go talk to them. But you know you're supposed to. So here's how we pray. Lord, if you want me to talk to that person, let me run into him when I'm walking out of the post office. Well, that's not much chance of that. You know what I'm saying?
I got one for you. I was a ruling elder of a church, and there was a complaint from one of the people about the minister, and we were at a prayer session. And I told, Lord, if you want me to tell him, make me run into him face to face. Well, I walked one way, he walked the other way, and we came face to face.
I hear you. I hear you, and that happens quite often. See, let me talk just a minute about the word called forgiveness. We talked about it a little bit the other day. Y'all remember?
Yes.
It is one of the most vital words there is. Vital. We must forgive. Is it easy? No. Is it easy to forgive yourself when you've done something wrong, when you know better?
No.
That's probably worse than anything. That's harder than anything. Well, how do you do that? Keep telling yourself you forgive yourself until you believe it. You know what? How do we do anything? We do things by habit. If we continue to do it over and over and over, it eventually become part of who you are. So if we practice forgiving, we'll eventually, it'll become what we are rather than what we do. Amen. It'll become a reaction rather than an action.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. It's a hard one, but we still got to do it. Third, we must choose the sign we're talking about very carefully. Sometimes people say, Lord, if you want me to do this, have the light stay green until I get through the intersection. How many figure that most of the time that probably won't work? Because the lights are set on a timer. But if it does, you know God did it. Remember, how about Joshua? Joshua, I need more time to fight this battle. The Bible said God made the sun come back up after it went down. I never saw that. You know? And people all the time say, man, I wish I could live my life over. Joshua got to live about, you know, a good part of that, a piece of that day over. Yeah, that day had more than 24 hours in it.
Sure did.
Wow. Anyway, so we have to do that. But having the light stay green, or for most drivers in Nashville, it doesn't matter if it stays green or not. They're going through it anyway. It's the truth. Somebody said the other day, what do you think a red light means in Nashville? I said nothing. Or maybe I'll qualify that. Maybe it means six more cars.
The tour guide said that Nashville had the worst drivers, one of the worst drivers.
Actually, they do have, for a city our size, unfortunately, it's one of the things that we don't want to tell tourist people, because people do not drive very well here. I'm not going to tell you why. They just don't. Anyway, that's pretty true. But anyways, to me, if we're asking God to do something that is unnatural, it's okay. We know God is a spiritual God and he's a supernatural God and he can make things happen any way he wants to. But if we're doing it so we can get God to do what we want him to, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Or not a spin the wheel, you know.
Yeah.
Spin the wheel and maybe you'll get, you know, door number one, two, or three. It's not like that. But anyway, so let's look at how the servant chose this son. How could the servant determine quickly which of the girls that would be getting there would have the qualities necessary for Isaac? How would he decide that? Remember, any of them could have brought water for the camels or been a relative to Abraham or any of these things. It would be necessary for him to make the first approach toward conversation, and the obvious thing would be for him to ask for a drink of water from her pitcher. But how most any girl in that day would have given a drink of water to someone out of common courtesy. So they would, that wouldn't be a something that would be a sign from God, because they'd all do that. If, however, she would then turn on her own initiative and offer help in a different way, like going a second mile, or that would be a good sign, would it not? So if she says, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a drink. It's okay if I feed all your camels. Let me think about that for a minute. Would anybody have to pray about that?
No.
Is it okay if I feed all your camels? Let me pray about it. Let me go to the board and see what they say. Let's set up a committee and figure it out. And oh, some folks just, Yeah, I got to be nice here because there were a lot of different kind of churches represented. But anyway, perhaps the most severe test would be whether she was willing not only to give him water, but even his
camels.
Even his attendants. Surely, if she would do this without grumbling, that would help, would it not?
Yes.
That would be a good sign. But would it be the only sign? Probably not. I think it's going to have to, if you're going to find the will of God, a lot of things have to work together. Okay, as we talked a little earlier, bring water, be a relative of Abraham, go with him. I mean, now there's the hardest one. A woman's going to leave her family and go all the way across the desert for a guy she's never met? And for, they didn't have Polaroid cameras back then. She's never seen this guy? All she's heard is what the servant said. Oh, but I want to tell you. I want to go ahead and rush into this because I want to tell you the end of the story. When we get to the end of the story, she has come all the way across this desert. Anybody ever rode a camel?
Yes.
They are the hardest. Yes. Man, you get seasick riding a camel.
Yes.
They sway back and forth. It's worse than being on a ship. Actually, they're called the ship of the desert, you know. But because you can get seasick riding them things. Now, she's ridden this camel for miles and miles and days and weeks. And she gets there, and she sees Isaac in the cool of the evening out on his porch. Porch, that's probably not, when I see porch, I'm not thinking about a nice concrete porch with a nice wood and, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about on his tent porch, okay? But, I mean, she sees him walking out. It says, the Bible says she's still a good way off yet. How did she know it was him? Everybody lived in the same place. How did she know it was him? She had no idea what he looked like. But she knew it was him because his servant had told her all the way across the desert, oh, my master is the greatest. He is absolutely the most handsome guy you'll ever see. He's this. He's got some nice red hair. He's got this. He's got pretty blue eyes and brown probably. But anyway, he said, and so she's, servant's telling her all the way across the desert. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit's telling us. All the way across this desert called the world, the Holy Spirit has said, oh, wait till you see my master. Wait till you see Jesus. Oh, all that stuff you've heard about him. He is the most beautiful. He is, you're going to, I want to tell you, I haven't seen him in person, but when I leave this world, I'm going to know who he is. Because my heavenly Eliezer called the Holy Ghost has shown me and told me every minute of every day what my Jesus is going to be like. And I'm going to recognize him while I'm still on my way up.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody should have been shouting by now. That was great stuff. Anyway. So drawing enough water to satisfy the thirst of 10 large and tired camels would be a pretty hard and wearisome task, to say the least. He couldn't really ask a girl to do such a thing. Nevertheless, she asked him if it was okay if she fed his camels. Is it okay? Yes. Wow, that would be a strong indication that she was the right one, right?
Amen.
Wow. Now, there are other times when we sense God speaking to us or have an impression. See, let me try to explain that, because a lot of people, I don't know what it means for God to speak to you, because, you know, we don't necessarily haven't heard the voice of God like that. And quite often, it's just an impression. It's just your heart all of a sudden jumps and says, this is what I want you to do, and you know it. Sometimes it's in your mind or your heart. You just know it's the thing God wants you to do. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, telling you it's about God. I want to tell you, the devil's not going to tell you to do those things.
No.
We're not going to probably instigate those on our own most of the time.
No.
So it has to be the Lord in the way he's doing that. When God gives an impression, listen carefully. When God gives an impression to you, he always gives a verification. Everything has got to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't mean it has to be started by, but if I know the Lord is speaking to me to do something, I'm going to go talk to somebody and say, hey, what do you think about this? Not that it's going to change my mind. If, you know, I just want to know. Let's pray about it. Let's be sure this is where God wants us to go. Not just jump out there in the middle of something. Now, there are times when you already know, so then it doesn't matter what people say. You just do it anyway because you know it's God. But you practice that until it becomes who you are. Remember? Okay. And all these impressions have to be evaluated by clear authority of the Word of God. You know, it's always got to be justified by the Word of God. Anybody ever played the game rock, paper, scissors?
No.
Y'all remember that game? Paper wins over rock, scissors wins over paper, and rock wins over scissors. In this case, Scripture wins over feelings. Hello?
Amen.
If Scripture does not speak to the issue, you need to check with some godly friends, and you may just want to leave it alone for a while. Don't forget about it. Put it on the back burner. If it's the will of God, You'll keep coming back, and you will not be able to do it. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. Remember what we said? Check the word. Ask for guidance. What was the third one? Weigh your circumstances. Good. Number four. Probably the most difficult. Walk in faith.
Not by sight.
Yeah, it's not by sight. It's not by feelings. Now, sight and feelings can have some things to do with it. But see, sometimes let me just tell you quickly. Your feelings are only based upon five things. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. How you feel are only based on five things. And all five of those things are worldly. Are you listening to me? How do I know they're worldly? Because you got them when God made you out of dirt.
Yep.
Hello? We didn't have them before that. They come with the body. See, we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. The body functions by five senses. And that's all it functions by. Wow. That is really important. When all is said and done, we still have to walk by faith. The servant of Abraham went to Haran trusting that God was going to lead the way for him to find a bride for Isaac. He asked God for his direction. When it was given, he acted. When he got to Rebekah's house, he didn't even stop to have dinner. They had dinner ready. He said, "We don't have time for dinner. We got to get you back to Isaac." Well, that reminds me of what it said in the last days. You're not going to have time to go do this and go do that and go do that. When Jesus comes, we're leaving right now.
Amen.
Remember in the Passover, in Exodus, when they were leaving, when they put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts and everything? Remember what it said? God said, "Put your shoes on. Get your staff in your hand. Don't just get ready and say, hey, maybe I'm going to leave tomorrow. You're going to leave. You may leave right now. So get totally ready." See, if I'm taking a vacation, say in December, I'm ready to go. I'm even ready for a vacation, no matter when it is, December or whatever. I'm ready, but am I really ready, or I'm just ready in my mind? See, but I'm not really ready. But I want to tell you, if I'm going on December the 10th, December the 9th, I'm going to have my stuff ready. I'm going to be ready to walk out that door, go catch an airplane. Well, that's right. My wife's going to have it ready. Yes, sir. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah. You can ask her tomorrow, and she will tell you, yes, she does it. Anyway, but I'm just...
No harm meant.
No, oh, no. No harm taken. Straighten me up when I need it. Yeah. Y'all got that, didn't you?
Yeah.
You guys know what that all means.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So anyway, so he went to her house and didn't even stop to have dinner. He wanted to find out right away if she was the one. So he says, "Hey, will you go with me? Leave your family and everything." Wow. See, God generally guides one step at a time. Have you found out? It's frustrating to me, maybe to you. God doesn't always give you the whole story in the beginning. It's a step by step. You know why that is? Because you have to build faith. If there's no faith, it's impossible to please God. It's like open an unlocked door. It takes faith to walk up to the door and try the knob. It takes faith to open the door. It takes faith to walk through the door when it does open. Every day, the journey is by faith. Before we can see the second step, we got to take the first one. Wow. Let's not forget that God has given us His Spirit to guide us. We keep coming back to that. He's given us mind to think and weigh options, but He's given the Spirit to guide us. Okay? Sometimes we have to trust our... This is something that's not much of around anymore. Common sense isn't very common anymore, is it?
No,
so we got to trust that sanctified common sense.
Amen.
that we've done these things for God so long that we've come and we've kind of established some very good habits and patterns of obeying the voice of God. Sometimes we have to trust the brain and the spirit God has given us and make the best decision possible. Listen carefully. We've got to walk by faith. And God promised us he will send his angels ahead of us, just as he did Abraham's servant. He will send them ahead to prepare the way. Now let's close with something here. As a result of this servant's faithfulness, Isaac married Rebekah. Two children were born originally to that union, then Jacob and Esau. You remember the stories of Jacob and Esau? Jacob's name was later changed to Israel, which is the very line that eventually Jesus came out of. And the faithful servant played a key role in God's plan of redemption for you and me because he followed the voice of God. Now, your decision probably won't affect the plan of redemption, but they're significant. The decisions we make are significant. You know, here's three simple steps, and I want to give them to you. If we will implement these in our lives, they'll really help us. Very, very important. Three simple steps. Okay. Maybe four, sorry. We already got those. These are the ones we've been talking about. Check God's word. Seek his guidance. Pay attention to your circumstances. Weigh your circumstances. And walk by faith one step at a time. Yeah. Two final issues. I mentioned God reveals things one step at a time. For some of you, for some of us, the first step may be to take an initial step of faith. That first step may be a step of faith. Walk up to the door. Maybe the reason we feel outside of God's will is sometimes we're not quite in his grace where we need to be, and I don't have time to explain all that. But God guarantees guidance to all those who are his children. If you're his child, he promises you guidance. Amen. You can be faithful. How many of you know you can go to church, every church in town, and still not be spiritual?
That's right.
You know, I mean, you can have a membership card to every church there is. I told somebody, sitting in church don't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a car makes you a 69 Buick. You know? So, but anyway, so he said, see, we can be faithful in these things. We should be. You can be a leader. There's a lot of things. You can be trying your very best and still not be one of God's children. It takes that experience with Jesus. It's a relationship, not a religion. So, well, how do I know if I'm a child of God? I'm fixing to tell you. We know we're children of God if we've admitted that we lived as enemies of God before, disobeyed his commands, were sinners, ignored his importance, and all the things that follow. We admit, first of all, that we've sinned. Before you can be his child, you've got to admit we've been sinners. Then we acknowledge there's nothing we can do to fix that. I can't save myself. You know? And even if we're able to do some things that are good, we can't pay for our sin. It's already been paid for. We must recognize that Jesus Christ is God who became man and died as a perfect man but the greatest sinner that ever lived. You know, wait a minute, you call Jesus a sinner? Let me tell you something. He took the sins of the world, past, present, and future on himself. So he died as the world's greatest sinner, and yet he was a perfect man. Oh, boy, that was probably a little too deep or something. Anyway, and also we make a commitment to trust what we've come to believe is true. We make a commitment to that Jesus. You know, a lot of folks can tell you that he died for sin. They can tell you about Jesus. But we got to take that first step. And just say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Amen?
Amen.
Once we've settled that, this ultimate issue, everything else will be great.
Thank you, Jesus.
Won't mean it won't have problems. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, it also says the righteous will suffer persecution. I don't like that scripture, do you? I mean, the righteous will suffer persecution. Wait a second. You ever had anybody ever tell you that that when you get saved, you're never going to have any problems again?
That just is not true.
That is just, I mean, no, that is not true. Oh, can I tell you why that's not true? Because when the devil's got you, he's not going to fight you. When he loses you, he's going to fight you every step of the way. Anyway, I'm going to really close with this. This is my final closing. Yeah, you got it now. You got it. I already gave you my first closing. This is my final closing. One final thing about finding God's will for your life. My pager. I have a hospital pager for emergencies. You thought it was your sound system, didn't you, Bruce?
Yeah, I did too.
Well, I should have left it running then. Yeah, one final thing about finding God's will for your life. God loves us so much that even if we make a wrong choice, even if we knock that door down and walk through the wrong door, He'll get you back on course. He'll forgive you and put you back there. He will. He will lead us in the way we should go. He promised us to lead us home, and He will do so even if He has to go and get us after we make a wrong turn. He'll still do that. If he sent Jesus all the way from heaven to come all the way to the earth, to go all the way to the cross, to go all the way to the grave and hell and all of that, to come back through the earth and go all the way back to heaven, that's a long, long distance. It's a short trip to get you from making a wrong turn. So, amen. So live boldly. You know, live faithfully in the confidence that God will always direct your paths just like He said. Anybody got a question? Yes.
I was reminded of the 10 virgins who had their lamps.
Yes.
When you were talking, and 5 of them had enough oil in their lamp. 5 of them didn't, so they had to go out and buy some. And while they were waiting, the bridegroom came. Yes. I want to be ready when He comes.
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you, when you're looking for the wind. And here's the thing. How many of you know that you can know the will of God for your life, but every day is still a step of faith to follow the will of God for your life?
Amen.
And I think that's where we go. God's will for your life is you should go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. That's His number one will. Remember, He said it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. So we should all. That's His will for you. Sometimes it's a hard walk, isn't it? Sometimes people who call themselves your friends or family will say some things that are really hurtful.
Yes. Yes.
But remember, you still have all the power.
That's right.
You know, we're still going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, let's pray. Father, we love You and praise You and thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the privilege of being able to be here with these wonderful people. Lord, I ask You to touch each one in a very special way, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, relationship, family, and in every way. I ask You to bless each one. Bless Jack as he leads this group and his family, Lord. And we thank You again for the privilege of being able to share just something from You. Lord, I pray that all of us got something from Your word that we can take and use as we walk this journey of life. We praise You for it. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much for another wonderful, clear message from God's Word. We look forward to your one again in the morning.